Baruch Hashem Adonai, bless the name of the Lord, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with the love of my life, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, sweetie, and thanks to all of you for tuning in or clicking on. Tonight we must forgo the political stuff and focus on God's celestial kingdom, for we'll need all the time tonight. But first, let us covet God's blessing upon this program and on all of you as we give glory to Yahweh.
Abba, Father, King of the universe, and God above all gods, we thank you for our many blessings and every breath we take. We trust in you and glorify you alone. We appreciate knowing that it really is your desire to share with us continual added details about your universe. And it is our honor to be your servants by sharing your many truths. We humbly ask for your blessing on tonight's program as we offer up to you our recent prayer request of health issues and financial needs, with the number one request always for the salvation of our loved ones. May these prayers be a sweet-smelling incense ascending to your throne. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, so it's been a while since we addressed this deep subject of...
Who are the little G gods?
And now, with the increased UFO sightings and, we are told, some abductions, where even Tucker Carlson has reports of... post-seizure pregnancies, which actually we reported on about 10 years ago.
Similar to the days of Noah, perhaps.
Well, the enemy is still the same and wants to defile our human race. And by the way, we don't claim to have all the answers on this topic, for it's vast and very supernatural subject. But since there are certain Old Testament biblical passages that confirm other supernatural entities in the heavenlies, then as students of his word and for our continued biblical growth, we must do our due diligence to pursue all of scripture, not just the milky stuff as Hebrew 5 implores us to do. In fact, the writer of Hebrews, who we believe is Paul, is kind of scolding them for not growing to maturity. Let's read that. And by the way, this next verse is not referring to the gift of teaching, but rather mature servants who are to share his word. Verse 12.
For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
So, how do you receive more discernment?
Get into the meat.
Right. Study diligently to show thyself approved unto God, 2 Timothy 2:15. So, that's what we do.
And, you know, Psalm 82 is a very good springboard.
Oh, it sure is. And should answer some questions that many determined Bible students have wondered about. As believers, next to the blood of Jesus, we also know the other main thread throughout his word is good versus evil, while pointing to the coming Messiah to achieve ultimate victory over the powers of darkness.
Sounds like Christianity 101.
Yes, it's the milk of the word.
But we really like steak.
Right, as many of tonight's listeners do as well.
And again, why it does matter to delve deeper into God's truths.
It doesn't affect anyone's salvation. But with that said, the deeper you dig, you can strike oil. In other words, more time in his word results in more Holy Spirit wisdom. And we should always want more, because it affects all parts of our lives and progresses us in our journey to total sanctification.
Hebrews 11:2.
especially when you are called upon to give godly counsel to those in need of it.
For sure.
Now, since we know God is eternal, thereby being around forever, isn't it like, well, just common sense to assume that things were likely happening in the cosmos and where God's throne is even before Adam?
Probably.
And you'd be right, because Scripture confirms that, along with a good number of scholars, mostly due to the Old Testament's Hebrew construction that we miss in English, especially between Genesis 1 verse 1 and Genesis 1 verse 2.
I believe some call that the gap theory.
Yes, like a major pause from when the earth was first created in verse 1, and then after God gave it a makeover in verse 2. You know, when he then created man to fill the earth, or the King James Version uses the word to replenish it. Anyhow, Psalm 82 will open your eyes to some logical understanding of how and why the gap theory fits into our solid food.
And then you make your own conclusions.
As highly recommended in Acts 17:11.
Be a Berean.
Mm-hmm. So before we read Psalm 82, some background is needed.
Yes, indeed.
It's important to know about rebellions, and with the help of extra historical writings found in the Dead Sea Scrolls and Mesopotamia, we can connect more dots than enhances what the Bible says. So the first rebellion was among the heavenly beings.
Like Eve and then Adam.
And then came the earth's judgmental flood.
Genesis 7.
And then yet again, man rebelled through the descendants of cursed Ham, who was Nimrod's grandfather, by attempting to build the Tower of Babel, not to reach God Almighty, but rather to reach a portal to the rebellious, therefore fallen little g gods becoming evil entities. We often term them as fallen angels, but tonight we are looking at the sons of God, who were actually higher in rank than the angels.
Who were God's messengers.
Yes. The sons of God, as we will see, were of the heavenly court of the divine council of our supreme God.
So there is a court in heaven.
Yep. By Genesis 10, we read about the many descendants of Noah and the regions. Nimrod, by this time, had become evil. Therefore, he encouraged the people in this area of Babel, some people say, to build a tower that would serve like a bridge up to a portal where the fallen false gods would come through. And by Genesis 11, we read that God said in verse 7, "Let us confuse their language and disperse them."
Who is us?
Well, it's not the Trinity, because in Hebrew, Moses uses the plural pronoun where the Trinity is singular. And because of Psalm 82 and other writings, we know he was talking to his heavenly holy ones. And we learn by now they were divided into 70 nations on divided continents.
Genesis 10:25.
And that God then placed other unrebellious sons of God.
Deuteronomy 32:8-9 in the ESV.
That's right, over those 70 nations. They were to be their spiritual advisors and point them in the right direction to the one only true Elohim instead of the false Elohim. And one over each nation.
Well, they were kind of like guidance counselors.
And their judges. But some of these beings, too, eventually rebelled and were showing favoritism to bad people.
Yeah, kind of like today.
Yeah. And eventually gaining their worship, which is a no-no. Anyhow, God has always wanted a people of free will that would worship him alone. And these Elohim were supposed to lead the people to Yahweh, the only supreme being. Which is why we see in the very next chapter,
Genesis 12,
that he called out Abraham from one of those 70 nations named Ur. Sadly, some, and we don't know how many of those little g gods, went against God's rules. But that's what we'll see in Psalm 82, which ultimately resulted in many battles between the little g gods, or the bad angels, and the good angels, as we read about in Daniel 10, fighting for God's people, whose seed would produce the promised Messiah.
Well, that's a pretty good backdrop.
And we will continue after this quick message.
Okay, if you have questions or comments, our email is sheila@shofarministry.net, or you can call the office and leave a detailed message too, 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail, the Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And love offerings are always appreciated.
So now let's read Psalm 82 in full, because sometimes certain words have double meanings according to the context, and then we'll comment.
Should we read it from the ESV?
I think so, but only because after examining and comparing to the Hebrew, I have concluded that the recent ESV is more aligned with the much older scriptural writings found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were obviously not discovered yet when the King James Version was completed, which used Old English words suited for that era. The ESV, translated in 2001, complements the Masoretic text, but uses more precise and up-to-date English wording.
Which also helps the younger generation.
And that is huge, because I know for a fact that millennials just won't read the King James Version. So, we must adjust, and I look at the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls in 1947 like a starting point for the last generation, because the very next year, in 48, Israel became a nation.
Like the fig tree beginning to bloom.
Yes, sure signs to me that we are the last generation before he comes to rule and reign.
You know, that was about 74 years ago.
Yes, and Psalm 90 says that the average age is 70 or up to 80 years if one is healthy and strong.
So we are very close.
Amen. The handwriting is definitely on the wall. And remember what Daniel 12:4 says about knowledge increasing in the last days?
That does not just mean technology.
Right. The Hebrew word is dayath, meaning also God's knowledge concerning his word, which is probably why God preserved those precious scrolls in those very dry caves at the Dead Sea for such a time as this, for his bride of his last generation to gain more knowledge. And because of the writings of Enoch, also found at the Dead Sea, we can now connect many dots to be even more informed and aware of the unseen realm all around us that God, especially in this our time, wants us not to be ignorant about. Okay, let's go through that doorway of Psalm 82.
God has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the God, he holds judgment.
Okay, that's, of course, God's with a little g. And then God rebukes the little g gods in verse 2.
How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. They have neither knowledge nor understanding. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men, you shall die and fall away like any prince.
And that pretty much confirms what we said. Now the writer Asaph closes his psalm with adoration.
Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all the nations.
Amen. Again, these divine counselors are not human beings. They are divine heavenly hosts, or the holy ones. In Hebrew, the word Elohim is used twice in just that first verse alone. The first time for God, and then his and then for his counsel. I think you should read that again.
Elohim has taken his place in the divine council. In the midst of the Elohim, he holds judgment.
In other words, God, as you can read, is reprimanding the lesser gods for going too easy on the wicked that God gave the lesser Elohim charge over when he dispersed the nations at Babel. These little g gods, or Elohim, are Yahweh's administrators and judges, similar to what we have today on earth, the Supreme Court over all the district courts.
As Moses did in the Exodus 18.
Yeah, because the heavenly bureaucracy is a template for us on earth. And by the way, the word Elohim is plural because all Hebrew words ending in I-M means more than one. And since our Abba Father is three persons in one supreme being, it's also used. And is still a hot topic in Jewish circles of study. Now, the other Elohim, who obviously had free will, are of the lesser gods that Yahweh appointed to share responsibilities as part of the heavenly family, as he does with us. Yahweh created all the heavenly beings, the holy ones, the Elohim, before Adam. These names, and especially the word Elohim, is more a description of residence. However, in the New Testament, we are called the sons of God, and that's because we are his new reborn creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17.
And therefore destined to be in his heavenly residence.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Again, no humans except for Adam in the Old Testament were called the sons of God. Only his first creations of those residing in heaven, and as in Adam, his first creation on earth.
So the Elohim have more authority than angels.
Yes, and there are different classes of angels with different responsibilities. So, with exception of Adam, we know that the sons of God in the Old Testament were divine rather than the human descendants from Seth, as some suggest, because we read in Job, they witnessed the creation of Genesis 1. This is God speaking to Job in chapter 38, verse 4.
Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars,
those are the angels,
sang together, and
all the sons of God shouted for joy. So obviously the sons of God and the angels saw the creation of earth before man was ever around. Now let's look at Psalm 89:5-7.
And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be in reverence by all those around him.
Saints is also a word referring to residence. You and I will one day reside in heaven. Therefore, his holy ones and the angels are saints as well. Let's look at Exodus 15:11.
Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods?
And Deuteronomy 3:24.
What God?
That's little g.
Is there in heaven or on earth who can do such works and mighty acts as yours?
Mm-hmm. And 1 Kings 8:23.
O Lord, God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth beneath.
And Psalm 97:9.
For you, O Lord, are most high over all the earth. You are exalted far above the gods.
And there are many others, especially when you search for them. An interlinear reference Bible is a must if you're a serious student, along with an ESV Bible for reference. So in summary for tonight, we have seen there are many Elohim, but only one Yahweh. the supreme being over all, having unique qualities, and the sovereign king over all the other Elohim. By understanding this, you can go deeper and not get hung up when you see the word Elohim, when reason has it that it's not applying to Yahweh. Now you won't be confused. It also helps to understand that the pagans were not just worshiping a mere statue, although they used them as a reminder of the false gods they served. In other words, they were not delusional. These little g gods were real entities, and yes, the people wanted to please those gods to keep them contented, so to not get angry.
So those gods were bad dudes.
Remember Elijah and Mount Carmel? Those gods were real and not a myth. The hieroglyphics of half man and half animal did appear to the people. Fallen entities mated with animals. Bestiality at its finest. And probably where the dinosaurs came from. And then died in the flood. So the biblical Elohim is not hard to digest once you know that it isn't about attributes, but rather a part of the spiritual world, its residents, and in that realm, there is hierarchy. The Trinity, the sons of God, and then the various types of angels or messengers. And now we can understand what the Old Testament writers understood, that Yahweh is an Elohim, but no other Elohim can ever be Yahweh. Although obviously some thought they could, and still today some evil men think so too. So with tonight's information, I suggest you reread 1 Kings 22 about how God called on his divine counsel for their input on how to terminate Ahab. And actually, he accepted their idea. You know, many often just slide by certain kinds of thorny words in scripture like divine counsel, sons of God, the watchers, Nephilim, even giants. But let us all desire to be challenged and be sure to share with others, for it's past time for deeper knowledge. I promise you will be blessed, for it pleases him. And isn't that what our new life in Jesus should be all about? Oh, and let me just say, it's okay when you disagree with any of my conclusions. My real calling is as 2 Peter 1:13 says, and that is to stir you up to do your own studies. And that's really what this ministry is about, is to want you to get to really desire going deeper into his words. That's the real blessing, and it's fun. So let me just say, is Yeshua Lord over your life? If not, you better not wait another moment. You got to be smart. Do you want to serve the Lord and be in heaven for eternity? And then come back to earth after he cleans it all up and enter into his millennial kingdom. It can all happen. It's there waiting for you. All you have to do is ask him for it. Invite him into your heart today. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:22. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for our president. Pray for our leaders. And pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Because those who love her, talking about Jerusalem, you're going to prosper in many different ways. Sometimes you won't even know what they are. And Jerusalem one day will be our home. Till next time, God bless and shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.